Midtown Manhattan, New York City, to the world. Tom Sullivan is on now.
Yeah, here we are. Now is the operative word. Welcome to the big radio show. Happy to have you along on this Monday, the 9th day of April, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan, and all right, we don't get along sometimes. We argue. Oh, man, you people were mad at me last week about trade, the trade war, the trade tariffs. We can go back around about that again, but I think there's something deeper. Something much deeper going on. Whether we're talking about Syria or trade tariffs, a trade war, whether we're talking about immigration and the border patrol, and are we so argumentative. We are arguing with each other like we have never argued before. And a very interesting piece that the head of Twitter really brought to light, and Jack Dorsey is his name. He's the CEO over at Twitter, and he pointed out an article out of the website Medium, called it a great article, that claimed there's no bipartisan way forward. No bipartisan way forward in the United States. We are toast. We don't get along with each other. We have separated into, what do they call them now, into our tribes? He says it's an article that says that the country is engaged in a fundamental conflict between two worldviews that must be resolved and resolved quickly. So Dorsey shared this article on his personal Twitter account, saying it's a great read. And so the story is called The Great Lessons of California in America's New Civil War, that America is already in the midst of a second major domestic conflict, and the way out is for the rest of the country to imitate California. Now, this is what this guy's idea is. He says, in this current period of American politics, at this juncture in our history, there is no way that a bipartisan path provides the way forward. The way forward is on the path California blazed about 15 years ago. What happened in California 15 years ago? Before we get on with the article, 15 years ago, you go back and there were Republicans in the state legislature. There was a Republican governor. There was a bunch of Republican governors. Reagan, Duke Majan, Pete Wilson. Okay, Arnold, kind of. So you go back, and so this person thinks that California is the answer. And I'm looking at California, and I'm thinking, what a mess. What a mess. But the authors of this piece that Jack Dorsey is saying, oh, this is great, this is great. The authors are calling for essentially getting rid of the Republican Party and its voters. Because, you know why? Because the Republican Party and its voters only care about rule by and for billionaires at the expense of working people, not average citizens. California, despite its mass wealth inequality, yeah, it's pretty bad between the rich and the poor in California. The growing lack of social cohesion, yes. The poverty rate, which is, I think, the highest in the nation, and soaring housing costs. This author thinks that California is a model for the rest of America. I'm thinking to myself, no, the rest of America is a model for California. Anyway, they claim the state's economy is booming. That is partially true. They also oddly claim the state is running on surpluses without acknowledging the big elephant in the room. Nobody talks about it. I'm the only one in the media that even mentions it. And that is the $400 billion upside down, haven't funded the pension plans for their public employees, for the people that work for the cities and counties and state. They're $400 billion shy of money they were supposed to have put in. So that, where's that going to come from? So they ran an operational surplus this past year, but that, it was tiny. It was $6 billion. So the people in California, oh, and I got into it with a caller. Remember that guy, a month ago? He called and he says, I got to tell you, the majority of us don't like the politicians that are running this state. And I went, what do you mean the majority of you don't? Well, I tell you, we don't. We don't like the leaders in our state. We don't like Jerry Brown. We don't like all. I said, well, obviously somebody does. I'm telling you, the people here don't like them. Well, so I got into it with the guy and pointing out the math of how stupid that sounded, because obviously the people that are running California were voted in by more people than people that voted for the politicians that lost. Jerry Brown has a 44% approval rating, which is right in there with the average of Donald Trump's. So I don't know if that's all that great. The article also does not acknowledge that the state has seen tens of thousands of residents leave year after year for the last few years. So I don't know what you think about our fighting with each other. I don't want to use the California model as the point of this discussion. I like the point where the author started was they believe that we are in a fundamental conflict and there is no pathway to us getting along with each other. This might as well be the North and the South in the middle 1800s. We don't see things the same way. But it's not by geography. It's by ideology. And I don't know how you solve that. His answer is, well, let's take the Republican Party down. Well, what's odd about that is I grew up a Democrat, became a Republican, got disgusted with both parties, and became an independent. But I don't want to see the Democrats go away, and I don't want to see the Republicans go away. I think the ideas that they both have are great for debate and let people choose. But this author says, in order to save the country, you got to get rid of the Republican Party. So I don't think this author is, shall we say, all that bright. Because you can't have one side, everybody agreeing. That won't happen. So you get rid of the Republican Party, what do you have? I think in many ways, I think the Republican Party is gone. And I think the Democrats certainly aren't the Democrats of 25, 30 years ago. They're gone too. They might as well change the names of these two parties. And Donald Trump has created a third party without calling it a third party, but he is doing his own thing. So I don't know what you think we're going to do about getting along with each other. I don't know if you've given much thought to it. It's a lot easier just to fight with each other. I'm right, you're wrong. And just because somebody has a different political view than you do, that doesn't mean you don't like the person. There's all kinds of people I like that don't have the same political views as me. So I don't know how much Jack Dorsey's labeling and promoting this article, how much of an influence that will have. But I like the fundamental premise of the fact that we do not get along with each other. And I don't know what it will take. I don't think there's ever going to be perfection where everybody loves everybody. That's never happened before. We look back with kind of pining for the days of pick your time. I don't know what time it would be. You know, JFK's era. No, there was all kinds of dysfunction and disagreement in our country in those days. So I don't know if all that much has changed or whether or not we are really in a position to where we're in trouble, that we're going to have a civil war. I don't see it. I really don't. I don't know what would cause a civil war. I don't know where people, I mean, literally a civil war. Not where we trade barbs with each other, but where we trade bullets, like they did back in the 1800s. Get out your guns and take a stand, take a side. I don't see that happening. And all of these tools that we have to vent today, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or social media, or talk radio. These are all vehicles that let the steam off. People can argue and make their points, do what they want to do. But this Jack Dorsey recommended article is, I think, I'm a little worried about Jack Dorsey. I've always thought he was kind of a smart guy, but I'm looking at this and going, the author, his name's, he's a media consultant. Oh, my gosh. Peter Layden and political commentator Roy Teixeira. They think you get rid of the Republican Party and you follow what's happened in California, where the Democrats absolutely control California. The governorship, all the statewide constitutional offices, the legislature. It's a one-man band. I mean, there's no other argument gets its light of day. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Are we that far gone where you think we're going to have a second civil war? And when I say civil war, I mean, yeah, armed. 855-295-6600. 855-295-6600. You can find numbers for the show, my email address, the links to my Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and podcast. You can find all of that. If you miss a show, you can find the podcast any hour you want. All of that, you can go to my website and click on it. It's simply TomSullivan.com.
Opinions that matter. Radio that makes you think. Tom Sullivan.
All right, we have some breaking news for you out of New York, where the FBI moments ago, in fact, as we speak, they are in the middle of raiding President Trump's longtime personal lawyer, Michael Cohen's offices here in Manhattan. They are seizing records related to several topics, including payments to Stormy Daniels. So federal prosecutors in Manhattan obtained a search warrant after receiving a referral from Robert Mueller's office, according to Michael Cohen's lawyer, who called the search completely inappropriate and unnecessary. Michael Zeldin is just commenting on CNN moments ago. He was a former special assistant to Bob Mueller when he ran the DOJ, when he's at the DOJ. Let's listen to his explanation.
Right. So it seems what you're seeing, Jake, is Mueller coming across in the course of his investigation evidence of criminal wrongdoing, which is beyond the scope of his mandate. So most likely he went to Rod Rosenstein, pursuant to the regulations that govern Mueller's conduct, and said, what would you like me to do with this? And Rosenstein said, or Mueller and Rosenstein agreed, that this is best handled by the Southern District of New York U.S. Attorney's Office. It's probably a Manhattan financial crime, perhaps real estate-related inquiry. They obtained a warrant to search, which means that they presented to a court evidence of probable cause to believe that there was relevant evidence to a criminal investigation, and the warrant was signed, and off they went and seized the documents that they needed to seize. We just can't tell yet what the scope of it is and why it is outside, why Mueller and Rosenstein feel it is outside his mandate when you look at the Manafort and Gates indictments, which seem untethered to the primary mandate of coordination, and yet he pursued that. So this must be something that's, you know, sort of ring-fenced within Manhattan and relevant to financial dealings of Cohen, either as his as a lawyer in and of himself or as a lawyer for the Trump Organization. We just don't know, because Cohen claims to make representations with respect to Stormy Daniels. It says he's acting on his own, and then he makes representations with respect to Donald Trump, that he's helping build the Trump Tower in Moscow and other international properties. So we just don't know yet where it falls, but it's clear that Mueller found something that he thinks a U.S. attorney should investigate, and the judge agreed.
But Mike, wow. So this is big, because Michael Cohen, not only, the New York Times is saying that this, they're seizing records related to several topics, and they threw in, including the payments to Stormy Daniels, but federal prosecutors here in Manhattan obtained the search warrant after receiving a referral from Mueller. So his lawyer, Stephen Ryan, Michael Cohen's lawyer, said today the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York executed a series of search warrants and seized the privileged communications between my client, Michael Cohen, and his clients. I have been advised by federal prosecutors that the New York action is in part a referral by the Office of Special Counsel Robert Mueller. So where are they going with this? Because Michael Zeldin said it could have to do with other business transactions that Cohen was involved with, real estate or others. But the seized records do include, according to the New York Times, do include communications between the president and Mr. Cohen, which would likely require a special team of agents to review, because conversations between lawyers and clients are protected from scrutiny in most instances. So Michael Cohen's office is being raided by the FBI as we speak. So I don't know. We'll have to get let me get back on track with why are we so far apart with each other. But Michael Cohen is a major player in that in Donald Trump's sphere. But this wasn't something that fell under the purview of the job that Mueller has as a special counsel. It was outside of that, and that's why he said, hey, we found something. I think you guys ought to look at it. They looked at it, went over to a judge and said, we believe, we have reasonable grounds to believe that there is evidence of criminal activity, and we need to be able to go get it. Judge said, fine. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Yeah, judge won't give you a search warrant unless you can convince the judge that something criminal has taken place. We'll be right back with your phone call. Stick around.
He likes it when you talk back. Tom Sullivan.
Yes, I do indeed. We're following this breaking news out of Manhattan, where the FBI has raided the offices of President Trump's personal lawyer, Michael Cohen. And CBS is now reporting that they not only sent a team over to his offices, but they also sent a team of agents to his home. And they are getting documents and other material, including emails, tax documents, business records, from both his home and from his office. So Michael Cohen's not having a good day today. They knocked on his door at home and on at his office here in Manhattan. So I know, shocking. The FBI says we're not commenting. Why they're, what they're looking for, who knows? But the process to get a search warrant on a lawyer and the lawyer's offices is extraordinary. And so the judge that issued this, I'm sure you would hope, went through all kinds of questions before they give a search warrant. And apparently the procedure when you're dealing with a lawyer is to also go through the U.S. attorney. And the current U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York is Jeffrey Berman, who came in just back in January. He was an assistant U.S. attorney back in the 90s. He handles complex criminal prosecutions, tax, securities, and computer hacking violations. So he is he's an experienced federal prosecutor, and they went through that. So somehow along the line, Mueller's the guy who said, hey, you might want to look at this. He found something and has turned it over to the U.S. Attorney's Office, and the U.S. Attorney's Office went to the judge, and now the FBI is in Michael Cohen's offices and home. Okay, that's all we got. I mean, there's not much that we can... there's not much we can add. Let's listen in. Here's Judge Napolitano. Let me see what he has to say.
Mr. Cohen, or Mr. Cohen and the president?
I'm going to ask a series of very stupid questions. You're always very patient.
They're never stupid, Mr. Cavuto.
So let me ask you, when Manafort's home was raided, don't you think there's a heightened awareness, my office, my home could be raided? So would that a smart lawyer like Cohen could have raided proof his offices?
He could have. We don't know exactly what the FBI has obtained. When a search warrant is given to the FBI, the FBI is required to file what's called a return. The return is a document that lists in painstaking detail everything that they seize. Now, that return is secret. It goes to the judge who signed the search warrant. It will only be made public if ever, if there is a prosecution as a result of any information obtained from the search warrant. They are also required to give Mr. Cohen a return so that he knows what they took from him. Do they give him time to copy what they took? Absolutely not.
Really?
Do they take the time to read what they're looking to make sure it just pertains to
Stormy Daniels? Would he have been there when
the
raid took place?
Probably. Do they take the time to read what they're looking at to make sure it's just about Stormy Daniels? We don't know. Now, I have to add this. Our colleague Charlie Gasparino has reported from his sources, some of whom are people who have testified before the grand jury, that they've been asked about Michael Cohen and his relationship to the Russians. So there may very well be other information that the government is looking for. That
apart from these payments to Stormy Daniels.
Correct.
All right.
This is being reported. New York Times is the one who broke this story. That Cohen, this is not in the purview of Robert Mueller. So therefore, if it has something to do with Russians, that's his purview. He would not refer it over to the U.S. Attorney's Office unless it was a local matter. So it may be just that question about the $130,000 that he said he paid to Stormy Daniels. The president threw him under the bus on Friday by telling reporters, I don't know anything about that agreement. You'll have to ask my lawyer. What about the $130,000? I don't know anything about it. You'll have to ask my lawyer. What that did was it said that Donald Trump could not be party to the agreement for the non-disclosure agreement, the NDA. And if he wasn't party to it because he did not know about it, then it's not a valid agreement. And then the question comes up about election law interference and all that sort of stuff with the $130,000. Always something every day regarding all of this. I don't know. You know, they're scrubbing everything they can scrub. They're looking at everything they can look at. But whatever it is that Mueller found was not under his purview. So he referred it out, which seems to me that that would either be like Michael Zeldin said, either a real estate deal or some other financial deal or a Stormy Daniels deal, but not anything to do with Michael Cohen and Russians. That would be held and dealt with by Mueller. There you go. So there's the latest on that. And this is just another one of these topics about where we argue with each other about the president, about the Russia. And according to this Jack Dorsey recommended article, is that we are so far apart from each other, there's no path forward other than a civil war between us in the United States. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Gabe, thanks for waiting. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show. Hi, Gabe.
Hey, Tom. How are you?
Good.
Like I was just mentioning to your screen, I don't think we're for a civil war. I think it's just a sign of the times with these last two presidents that we've had, you know, with President Obama and President Trump. You know, they're causing a lot of anguish for people. I think with Obama, it was all probably related when he came in. You know, he was seen more as a socialist and some of the ideas. I think with President Obama, people don't agree with him, a lot of people, because you got to face it, he's crude. Things that he says, you know, he doesn't
Trump.
Seem to be very diplomatic.
Trump. Yeah.
Yeah, Trump. Yeah, yes, Trump. And I live out here in California, and one-party rule doesn't work. It's horrendous. You need to have representation from both sides.
I think so too. I think. Here. I mean, these authors of this article are delusional if they think that just one party rule is the best idea. You may not agree with anything that the other party says, but it's healthier to challenge all of us on our views. I do
exactly, and I agree with you. Perfect case in point, perfect example. Look at the Obamacare health law. Who was it passed by? Democrats. Is it working? No. Same thing with the current tax bill. It was all, you know, input just from Republicans.
Right.
Is that going to work? Well, word is still out on that, right?
Well, people that have a long history of government, our historians or government historians, have always said there is no legislation that is successful unless you have buy-ins from both parties. Some buy-in. If you only have one party doing it, it's legislation that's going to fail. And historians can give you a long list of things that have not worked because of the fact only one party passed them. That's where we are right now.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, California is a perfect example of probably things not to do. I mean, like you said, we're what, $400 billion in the hole with you know, pensions, and what are we doing? We're building a stupid bullet train that I don't think it's a good idea. And people can disagree with me, but we don't have the money. We just passed an onerous gas tax. I don't see any bridges.
There's all of that, but I mean, just look at the state. I mean, you've got the highest poverty rate in the nation. I don't know. I would look at California is a beautiful place that God gave us geographically, but I think people dream about California from the movies. It's not like that in real. Gabe, I got to run. Thank you.
Unpredictable, unprecedented, undeniable. Tom Sullivan.
Well, this is a big deal this afternoon. FBI executed a series of search warrants today, raiding Michael Cohen's office and his home. And in those records are apparently communications and documents between Michael Cohen and President Trump. So just getting a search warrant on a lawyer who supposedly, when you talk to your lawyer, that is privileged and nobody has access to that. So in order to break that privilege and get those records of what Michael Cohen did with his clients, particularly one client who happens to be the President of the United States, I don't know how high up this went, but this, I'm thinking, since this is a federal warrant and the FBI is involved, I'll bet you that Jeff Sessions was involved in this. I cannot imagine this not going all the way up to the Attorney General. If it was handled by Mueller, who answers to Rosenstein, and Mueller says, I found something here that I think points to criminal activity, but it's not under my guideposts here, my four corners of dealing about Russia and collusion and all those sorts of things between the campaign. So here you go, Mr. Rosenstein, boss. Here's where I found some possible criminal activity, reasonable belief. Well, Rosenstein may have handled it himself and just went ahead and gave it to the U.S. attorney in New York City. I can't imagine Rosenstein doing that without talking to his boss, because this is not where Jeff Sessions recused himself. He recused himself on all matters regarding Russia and the campaign. This apparently doesn't have anything to do with that. So it has to have gone up to Jeff Sessions. CNN is reporting that the president is aware and is watching this unfold on television. So obviously he did not know about it. Maybe Sessions called him and said, hey, you might want to know that your lawyer is being raided. But the FBI is searching through his offices and his home. Seizing privileged communications between Cohen and his clients. So this is, Cohen's lawyer says the search is completely inappropriate and unnecessary, and said federal prosecutors told him it stemmed partially from a referral by the Office of Special Counsel Robert Mueller. He said, I have been advised by the federal prosecutors that the New York action is in part referral by Robert Mueller. It resulted in the unnecessary seizure of protected attorney-client communications between a lawyer and his clients. These government tactics are also wrong because Mr. Cohen has cooperated completely with all government entities, including providing thousands of non-privileged documents to the Congress and sitting for depositions under oath. Person briefed on the search told the New York Times that one of the topics being investigated, just one of the topics, is this whole business about Stormy Daniels. But they also seized emails, tax documents, and business records, including communications between Donald Trump and Michael Cohen. Now, Michael Cohen has been Donald Trump's lawyer long before he ran for president. I don't know if this is because of the president's comments that he made on Air Force One on Friday, where he said he did not know about the $130,000 payment. He said, you'll have to ask Michael Cohen. Michael is my attorney. You'll have to ask Michael. Any lawyers want to chime in on this? I'd love to know just how difficult this is to be able to get a search warrant on a lawyer's files that include privilege files. Where does privilege begin and where does privilege end? I've always been told that it's whatever you say to your lawyer can never, ever be used by anybody. So we're all kind of watching, trying to figure out what it is that has happened. But this does not have to do with Russia. It doesn't have to do with Moscow, because remember there were all kinds of false reports out about Michael Cohen was in Moscow, reportedly in contact with Putin. But that he had records and documents showing that he was in another part of the world at that time. He wasn't in Russia. So I don't know what you make of this. Phone number is 855-295-6600. I don't know if it's a big break into anything for the special prosecutor, because if so, the special prosecutor would have handled it. But instead, he gave it. Mueller gave his referral, well, it says to the U.S. attorney, but he can't give something to the U.S. attorney. He has to go through the chain of command. if Jeff Sessions is involved in this, I would imagine that, that President Trump will go ballistic. I'm telling you, I think he will blow a gasket on this one. We're looking for any more information on this, but the FBI, as you can imagine, is being very tight-lipped. The payment to Daniels is just one of the many topics being looked at by the FBI. See, the Stormy Daniels thing, if I was, this is where President Trump got into this, I will fight, I will fight, I will fight, I will fight, which is what his modus operandi was when he was a private citizen. I will fight you in court, I will fight you in court, I will fight you, I will wear you down with my lawyers. I will not settle. And everybody knew Donald Trump would never settle. So now he becomes president. The Trump University lawsuit comes along. He says, I will not settle. I will not settle. He settled. Because he found out that as president, it's a whole different game, whole different ball game. If they, I don't know what Stormy Daniels wants. She got $130,000. But I would think that if Donald Trump had just said, look it, write her a bigger check. Put another zero on there. Make it $1.3 million. But get her out of my headlines. Get her out of sight. Get rid of her. But instead, this could have blown up today with this whole comment that the president made about, I didn't know anything about that agreement, which says there isn't an agreement. All right. We'll keep an eye on it. I'm not sure we're going to find anything else out this afternoon, but pretty big break in this legal case.